my whole career. I was afraid of being fired. It was like this, yeah, this stigma. But it has wound up being the best thing that's ever happened to me.
I'm a big fan of getting better before getting bigger.
What's your favorite tool or business resource that you find yourself constantly recommending?
ChatGPT.
No way.
Yes.
Okay. Yes?
Yes.
Cosign? Hey everyone, my name is Angela Hollowell and I'm the host of Honey and Hustle. Today, we have a first on the show. We're doing a financial roundtable with Andrea Enochin. Maybe that name sounds familiar. She is the wife of Charles Enochin, who is also her co-founder in Cadence Cash, as well as Corey Barber. He came all the way from Goldsboro, so I know this is going to be an incredible episode for you guys. In this special roundtable episode, you'll learn the ins and outs of grant funding and how to secure your first commercial loan. Thanks so much for joining us today. This podcast is free and will always be free and available on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, Good Pods, Heytown, you name it. While it's free for you to consume, it's not free for us to create. We pay our video editors, writers, production assistant, and operations manager for helping us make this show come to life. If you'd like to support us in making this show, please consider subscribing to our Substack community, using our affiliate links, or just simply sharing the show with someone who might enjoy it. All right, let's get into this conversation. Thank you guys so much for joining me here today. I really appreciate you taking the time. This is the first panel of its kind on the show, so I'm super excited. And I think it's a needed topic because we'll be talking about funding for businesses, which is the age-old question of, like, you know, maybe you are revenue positive, but it's just not, you know, enough to cover bigger expenses, right? And make those larger investments in your business that you need in order to grow in scale if that's something that you want, but really just to be sustainable long-term, right? So for those that are looking at Andrea and like, she looks familiar. First of all, we had her husband on the show earlier this season. We had Charles on, and Andrea is also part of Cadence Cash. And so she's here to talk to us a little bit about grants. I really do want to kind of focus on that because I think there's a very big difference in very few, you know, organizations that do both microlending and grants. So can you talk to me a little bit about that decision to have those diverse areas of funding for people?
Sure. So I think we actually started out thinking about the microloans and lines of credit. But as we started to talk to other small businesses, you know, people just sometimes, you know, the word grants kept coming up. And it's something, it's just a need that's out there, you know, and especially more recently, when you see the attacks on, you know, grant sources like the Fearless Fund. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a possibility of grant sources decreasing. And so we're hoping to also step into that and provide another means of grants for small businesses.
Mm-hmm. And Corey, you do a little bit with, not a little bit, mostly with commercial real estate investing, getting people ready to, you know, have those kind of conversations with banks about how can I, you know, finance this for my business. Talk to me a little bit about how you got into specializing in that, because I think finance is so interesting in that everybody has their own lane, right? If you're, you want to get a mortgage, there's a specific person for mortgages, but commercial real estate is different.
Yeah, so I started serving the community about 2 decades ago in banking, formerly with an institution, and just kind of worked my way up. My last role in banking was vice president of commercial banking. Mm-hmm. And what I saw was that we were declining more people than we were approving. Mm-hmm. And especially when we start talking about, you know, minorities and different things of that nature. And so I know how critical capital is to entrepreneurs and businesses. It is the fuel by which they are able to move their business from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. And so for me, how I serve is through educating and making sure people are equipped with the necessary knowledge to be able to scale, mm-hmm. to be able to access $1 million or whatever the case may be, because it is a process. And like you mentioned earlier, you know, you mentioned revenue positive. That's critical. Mm-hmm. You know, it's no need to talk about getting $250,000 when your business hadn't made money yet. If anything, you're strapping yourself with too much debt, and it's a surefire way to fail. And so that's what I've been doing over the last 2 decades. And now Barber Companies, my company, mm-hmm. has the ability to serve people all over. And so that's how I got started.
Yeah. So you mentioned you actually came up from Goldsboro today.
Yes.
I believe Andrew's here in the Triangle. Talk to me a little bit about your market right now.
So my market is virtual. Mm. And so wherever you can see this is wherever my market is, because through technology, I have the ability to coach, consult, and work with clients, mm-hmm. Whether it be in person, if need be. But in a lot of cases, business is like efficiency. Mm-hmm. And so to be able to hop on a Zoom session and talk through and actually get financials and scrub those financials and get certain ratios and be able to talk through why your ratios are this and what the bank is going to look at is critical. Because again, being that I've been in banking for so long, I can tell them the things that banks aren't telling them. Because they're going to continue to be in business, but they're going to keep running up against it if they don't make the investment to change it. And so having you here to have other alternative lendings and grants and things of that nature is critical, because we have got to get to the money. We have got to have our businesses are absolutely amazing. We excel at doing business. But what happens is we run out of fuel, we run out of cash. Yeah. And you can take a bad business that's well funded and they'll do fine eventually. Yeah. And so we've got to help our people be able to access capital necessary to grow, scale, and sustain their businesses.
That is a very powerful statement. You can take a bad business that's well funded and it's going to do well eventually. I feel like that's 90% of every company that's ever gotten venture capital. That was like, maybe they are just like, there's some of them are still at the idea phase and they just have like millions of dollars and they're just like, eventually we'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. Like eventually we'll get to the right place and we'll make the right hires and we'll make the right investments. But it's like some people that are revenue positive are doing great, but they just don't have that kind of runway, mm-hmm. that are struggling to get even half of that in twice the amount of time.
Yeah.
Right? So when I think about Cadence Cash kind of stepping in to be kind of that holistic funding partner, what are some of the trends that you're seeing in businesses who may be in that second category of like, we're revenue positive, we're doing great. Our market just isn't big enough to give us that runway just yet.
Yeah, I mean, I think when we see those types of businesses, it is sometimes they just need that little bit of capital infusion to help them kind of cross that hurdle. Mm-hmm. I think you were saying, like, oftentimes when they're going to traditional financial institutions, whether it's banks, whether it's venture capital, even at times angel investing, our businesses just don't get the same funding. Mm-hmm. When you look at minority-owned and women-owned businesses, I think the stats are, they're appalling. It's like 3% of venture capital goes to women and minority-owned businesses. Mm-hmm. And when you look at traditional financial institutions, people go to banks, I think black businesses get turned down at 2x the rate of their counterparts. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's why, that's why we came to Cadence, that's why we launched Cadence, is to really empower these small businesses, give them the flexible financial options, and I think different products to meet them where they are on their journey. Mm-hmm. So, whether they need a line of credit, whether they need a loan, whether they need a grant. Mm-hmm. And as we continue to grow and our client base grows, we're hoping to grow with them and even offer more products to meet their needs.
Yeah. What I'm hearing from both of you is this really personal and intimate relationship with your clients. When I go to the bank, it's like the complete opposite, right? They're just like, what do you need? Why are you here? What can I get you to get you out of here? You know what I'm saying? And it's not that, they're doing anything wrong. I'm sure that's their job. But I also, may not feel as comfortable asking them, deeper financial questions about where I am, where I see the business going, because I don't feel like they care. What I'm saying? And I think, hearing you guys talk, you're like, well, I work with people, I counsel people, I get a full financial picture of what they need, and then I make recommendations, right? And I think that is not often the relationship we have with people in finance, but also just money in general. We try to keep our money, separate from what everybody else knows, right? For good reason, I get that. I think it's a sensitive topic, but it's a needed topic if we're going to be honest about how your business is going to grow, right? And I think, and I'm hoping both of you can speak to this, which is this issue of cash flow, and not even just the issue, but the topic of cash flow.
Yeah.
And, for me as a service-based business, majority of my cash flow comes in at the second half of the year. So the first half of the year, I'm doing okay. Second half of the year, I'm going crazy because I'm busy, And, I think sometimes that level of understanding is also needed to make recommendations about, when are you, needing the money the most? When can you work on other things that would help grow the business when you're not as busy? Things like that. Conversations that I've just simply never had, right? So talk to me a little bit about kind of the counseling side of things and kind of the relationship building side of things when you work with people. Corey, would you like to take that first?
Yeah, so a couple of things that we've got to understand. So when I was 16 years old, my dad took me and opened my first account, and he said to me, this bank, if you handle them properly and you steward your money, they'll give you more money than you give them.
Mm-hmm.
And so banks are in position to lend money.
Mm-hmm.
It is a means by which they sustain themselves.
Yeah.
They make money off of fee income and interest income. And so they are there to do just that. In addition to that, if you're in a position, if anyone's in a position where they are not feeling the love or feeling that they can have a conversation, then have a conversation with someone who wants you. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid to go to a bank that's going to take care of you and have conversations, because that's a critical conversation to have, because they got your money.
Yeah.
And as a result of them having your money, they are lending that money out. That is the game. That's what happens. Mm-hmm. And so it's really important, one, to make sure that we understand what banks are there for and how to leverage them. And not only banks, but financial institutions and accessing capital. In addition to that, be confident to know what you have a right to. In addition to that, position yourself. And so a big part of what we do is to educate, empower, and equip. Mm-hmm. And to talk through the foundational pieces, not plays, but principles, mm-hmm. that should be in place that help you, give you the confidence to be able to go to the bank and know what to expect. Mm-hmm. And know what, when you hear this, then that's a red flag. Mm-hmm. Or when I don't hear this, or I already know what I'm pre-approved for, because I have a knowledge and an understanding. I already know my cash flow. I already know my debt service coverage ratios. Mm-hmm. I know these things. And so for us, education is absolutely critical. Because an uneducated people can easily be taken advantage of. Yeah. I mean, we have seen this, historically speaking, we have seen this over and over again, from GI bills to PPP loans, mm-hmm. to, in addition to what you're saying. Absolutely. And it's crazy, because who are the fastest growing businesses? Black women, mm-hmm. minorities. Mm-hmm. So how are minorities and black women the fastest growing business, but the least funded? Mm. There's some systematic things that are in place, but there also are some things that we can teach and learn, mm-hmm. to help pre-position us. And mm-hmm. so that's an approach that we take, because, again, 20 years in banking, sitting there approving millions of dollars or declining millions of dollars, we're able to talk through some of the things that they might not tell you.
Right.
We're able to say, when you said that to them, it was a red flag. Mm-hmm. Or when you say cash flow during this time, that's really not seasonal, that's manageable. Mm-hmm. That's something that we're not managing properly. So, mm-hmm. maybe we think about this, and this. And right. so, but it all starts with a conversation.
Yeah.
I will say, I think I agree. Education is so critical. It's one of the things that we're really leaning into. You know, we've done, I'll say, LinkedIn webinars, actually on grant writing and grants. We actually have an upcoming, we're doing an annual, it's called Fund Her event, mm-hmm. to educate women small business owners around capital, what's out there, how it fits your business. Because mm-hmm. I think you're right. I mean, the fastest growing group of small businesses is black women.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, we have to find a way to support these businesses so that they can be adequately financed and grow and thrive. So I think education is so critical, so that you know what you're eligible for, how to best use resources, and when you need them. Mm-hmm. I'll say also, going back to your point on relationships,
yeah.
I think as we've been doing our customer discovery, what you said is so common, mm-hmm. I'd say particularly around female entrepreneurs. And it's from, you know, women who are solopreneurs, women who maybe have, you know, graduated high school, not graduated high school, all the way up to women with MBAs. Mm. And oftentimes they'll have these banking relationships, but they don't have a personal banking manager. Mm-hmm. And so there's, you know, I think there's a desire to create like a funding or a financing plan, but not the partner to work with them on it. And so that's actually a space that we're trying to step into as well. So for, you know, members of our platform, they'll have actually a personalized concierge. So it's like a concierge service, so that there's someone who knows you, knows your business, knows the flows of your income, can help you figure out what's the right approach for you and when, and kind of continue to evolve that as you're growing.
Yeah. When I think about, just again, kind of staying on this topic of cash flow, but also thinking about people who are not in my industry, which is like media. So I think it's kind of common for people in the film industry to kind of have that beginning of the year slump, because it's, you know, people are still figuring out their budgets and it's cold and nobody wants to film outside and, you know, that whole deal. But I think there's also something to the fact that, you know, there's more than one way to make money off of your business, right? Mm-hmm. Even if you're a service-based business. Mm-hmm. Me showing up is not the only way that I can make money. And I think that, again, goes to, like, what conversations are we having financially about, like, you know, if you want to take your business to, you know, seven figures, what is that going to look like? Because realistically, there's only one you, and you can only charge so much for so many things. So when we start to think about, you know, what is the best use of a space, right? Because if you're using it just to have people there, make it look like you're doing well, maybe that's not the best investment of your time,
right?
So talk to me about, you know, some of the main reasons people might want a commercial space beyond just the space.
Yeah, so a couple of things. One of the bigger mistakes that we make very early in business is wanting things that we don't have the capacity for. Mm. And we spend money on our business, but not in our business. And so you mentioned there's only one you.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Yeah.
But there are also systems and automation that are in place to help you, help us multiply ourselves.
Yeah.
And so I'm a big fan of getting better before getting bigger, right? What do I need to do in my business to get better? Where are my blind spots? And as a result of those blind spots, either I perfect it or I hire somebody to help me.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is only one me. Yeah. And if this world was consisted of just me, it wouldn't be a great place. And so being a solopreneur, entrepreneur, I think we need to get over ourselves and realize that we don't go as far as our dream, but we go further with a team.
Mm.
And so one, recognizing that piece, and then recognizing that we need to minimize our expenses and not grow too fast.
Mm.
And so to say that maybe I don't need a commercial space just yet because I don't have a clear plan of who I serve and how I would leverage and flip the commercial space. So I'm gonna be upstairs in my bedroom with a Tiffany green backdrop and some big old lights, and I'm gonna make it do what it do until I am busting at the seams.
Yeah.
Now, this is where we start to go back into cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have very low overhead with very nice cash flow, mm-hmm. now we're talking.
Yeah.
And you're able to get better and then get bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, again, too often we invest on our business, but not in our business.
Okay.
And we've got the cars wrapped, we've got spaces, we've got, I need $250,000 for this, this, and this. When in actuality, that $250,000 would ruin you.
Mm.
It would crush your build. It would crush your business because you don't have the capacity to handle it.
Mm.
And what you would have to charge to recoup that,
you
price yourself out of the market.
Exactly.
And so I'm really big on slow to acquire debt. And just like we talk about our money having a mission, our debt needs to have a mission and an assignment also.
Before I ask this next question to Andrew, I do want to ask this because I've never been able to get a straight answer on this,
okay.
Which is, what is a good, you know, expense to income ratio for a business? Like, what does healthy operating percentage look like?
Because so that's a great question,
yeah.
Because it's industry specific.
Okay.
Right? Some industries have higher margins, which because they have lower overhead.
Mm-hmm.
Some industries have very high overhead because they need certain things to be able to run their business.
Okay.
I'll say this. What does that business feel comfortable with?
Mm-hmm.
Right? What do you feel, not you, but a business feel comfortable with as far as the ability to live a good life, pay yourself a good wage?
Yeah.
In addition to that, depending on what season you're in, are you going into a season where you're going to need access to capital?
Because
if you are, then your books need to look a lot different from you deducting everything.
Okay.
And so that is not a straight answer, but it's really not a straight question because it really depends on the industry, the business, and what the goal of the business is. If you're scaling and growing, then you need to have some cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
If you are on the tail end of this thing and you're looking at succession planning and things of that nature and you want to minimize your tax exposure and things, so it's not to answer your question, but it's not a straightforward answer.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'll take that for now. We'll
okay.
circle
okay.
back.
Okay. Was that, did I put honey on top of it?
Yeah, a little bit.
I was
put
trying
a little
to
sauce on it.
With the honey.
I appreciate it.
I appreciate
you. Andrea, so in a similar vein, when, you know, people are coming to you and they say, well, you know, if I can't go to a grant right now, you know, I've been striking out with grants, you know, is this a good time for me to get a micro loan? How do you kind of go about determining, you know, if it's time for them to kind of take on a little bit of debt?
Yeah, so I think we would talk to them about what their goals are. Is it short term? Is it a revolving need? And then, you know, if a microloan is the right fit, someone would then go to our platform. We have a pretty fast way for them to apply. Because I think, you know, a lot of times for small businesses, the loan underwriting process can actually be pretty overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to, you know, give people enough information so they can gather the info they need up front,
mm-hmm.
and then go in and actually get through the application pretty quickly. And then we also, kind of going back to the concierge service, we have people, your team is there ready to help you if you know, you're going through and this is your first time seeking a loan.
Yeah.
And maybe you're a little confused on how to answer a question.
Yeah.
I think in traditional underwriting, that's usually a way to kind of knock you out.
Yeah.
You know, I think for us, we're actually looking for ways to lend to people rather than ways to disqualify people from lending. So we're trying to make it as easy and as intuitive as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, if you're eligible, you know, we deploy quickly. If for any reason you're not eligible, then our goal is actually to help you get ready.
Mm-hmm.
So to give you, you know, if there are certain steps you need to take, if there's something you need to clean up,
mm-hmm.
basically to get you loan, you know, loan capital ready.
Yeah. I don't know if you noticed this, but when you said if someone isn't eligible, a good way to knock them out is to overwhelm them with the loan process. And his face was like, oh, God, know that, been there.
Banker alert.
Yeah.
So banks are in business to mitigate risk.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a result, again, and I'm telling you, sitting on the side of the desk where I'm clicking buttons, moving millions of dollars, you're absolutely right. And the idea behind it is that the entity has to be made whole and has to mitigate risk to where they can't, anything that comes up is a red flag.
Mm-hmm.
And red flags produce losses in banks. And so instead of, like you said, which I love what you all do, looking for a reason to say yes, in mitigating risk in a lot of cases, not all banks, not all institutions,
right.
but they are looking for reasons to say no.
Yeah.
Because they have a very thin margin of error. And so if that margin of error is so thin and you're coming stumbling and bumbling, it's not a good look.
Right.
And so, yeah, that's what my eyes. You know, I was trying to keep them down. Secrets. Message.
I do want to acknowledge that we are in a privileged space right now, right? Being in North Carolina where we have M&F Bank, multiple locations for M&F Bank, one of the last Black-owned brick-and-mortar banks in the country. We have Black-owned financial institutions and organizations. We have access to, you know, some of the biggest tech companies in the world who don't care about throwing money around for a grant or for angel investing or whatever. And some of the biggest ones coming. We have Apple, we have Google, you know, Nike is coming, all these big things. And I think a question I get sometimes is people will say, well, why North Carolina? Why do you only interview North Carolina people? And it's like, well, because I know the privilege it is to be here coming from Alabama, right? Like there just weren't these things. They just didn't exist, right? And I think for people that are watching this, another one of the reasons I made this show is because I was like, well, it shouldn't matter if you live in North Carolina. You should still have access to the things you need to have the life that you want to live if pursuing a business and starting your own business is for you. So I kind of want to pose the question to you guys, you know, if someone is in a place where maybe they don't have access to, you know, or direct access to maybe Black-owned financial institutions. What are some ways that they can go about developing great relationships with banks and great relationships with money in general as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, do you want to start? You want me to start?
It's whatever you like.
Right,
I'm a husband, so I can't tell you. Yes, dear.
I will kick it off then.
Yeah,
I mean, I will say, I think number one, you know, there are national organizations. So I think seeking out people who have a national footprint,
mm-hmm.
even if they may not be based in your local jurisdiction. So, you know, Cadence Cash, we're based here in the Triangle,
mm-hmm.
but we lend nationwide.
Okay.
So, you know, there are companies, that's why there's more companies coming who are looking to have a more national footprint. I'll say additionally, you know, CDFIs in your local jurisdiction,
okay.
It's a great resource for small businesses.
Not to interrupt you, but what is a CDFI for people who don't know, mainly me?
So a CDFI is a community development financial institution,
okay.
and they are typically located in like their, you know, local region, and they are focused on providing loans to small businesses. It's
okay.
a combination usually of loans and counseling,
okay.
and so it's another source of capital for small businesses. Also credit unions.
Okay.
I think they're actually a very often overlooked means
great
of capital.
Resources. Yeah.
Great
resources.
And then I will say, you know, another avenue is also angel investors.
Mm.
You know, starting to look for people who are mission aligned,
mm.
People who are interested in, you know, funding your type of business. And in that way, I think it's, you know, getting out, going to networking events. LinkedIn is a fantastic resource.
Yeah.
It's a great way. I mean, you know, it's kind of a great equalizer to be able to reach out, ask, people love to answer questions.
Yeah.
So even if you're not sure how to make the connection, asking someone a question is actually a great way to open a conversation and start to build a relationship.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah, I echo all of that. In addition to that, not in addition, but just be inquisitive. Right? Simply put, the privilege that we have gives us access to information.
Yeah.
And just like we know how to do everything else, we can figure a lot of this out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just by being inquisitive and not not overcomplicating things and simply reaching out and asking the right questions. And even if you don't know, here's a great question to ask. Tell me what I don't know to ask to get this, this, and this.
Yeah.
Right? Use that. Mm-hmm. I use it all the time when I'm talking to people that are far smarter than me.
Mm-hmm.
What am I not asking that I should be asking right now?
Yeah.
And so be inquisitive, continue to be a student, take ownership for where you are, where I am, where we are, make adjustments and don't make excuses.
Yeah.
And with that privilege, there also is positioning.
Mm.
Now, North Carolina is an amazing state for some.
Yeah.
Right? And we have our challenges. But in addition to that, instead of making excuses, we make adjustments and we also steward the privilege properly by preparing ourselves. And that's a big piece of what you all do and a big piece of what I do, because we saw this recently where millions and trillions of dollars are being thrown from helicopters in the form of PPP loans. And a lot of our businesses, now there were some systematic things, let me be very clear, there was some systematic foolishness that was in place.
Yeah.
In addition to that, some of us weren't even in a position to be ready for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the privilege that we have requires stewardship and positioning.
Mm-hmm.
And so continue to be inquisitive and continue to position yourself to have access to microloans and grants and the money that you need, whether it be 4, 5, 6, 7, or 8 figures.
Yeah.
But it really is about positioning. And that positioning comes from us, from you.
Yeah.
And so all of the great resources you gave, I completely agree.
Okay.
I just want to throw one more good question. When you're talking with someone, the question of, is there anyone else I should talk to? Is such a simple way of ending, but also can continue to get the ball rolling if you're looking for resources for other people in your area.
No, I like that. I like that a lot. Yeah, because I mean, like, especially when I was new here, like, I didn't know anybody, you know? I was just happy to be in the room sometimes, you know? Like, happy that I could join after work, you know?
Well, that's positioning, right? You positioned yourself in the room.
Yeah.
You don't even necessarily have to be in the room because they're virtual rooms. You can be in your room with your jogging pants on and this looking right.
So, that's me, 1,000%.
I'm not saying that we're making excuses.
Yeah.
I am saying that there is a stewardship of the privilege that we have,
mm-hmm.
and you have to position yourself. And it's my fault in a lot of cases.
Mm.
And so we've got to keep going.
Yeah. For people watching this who are like, okay, you know, I'm getting some traction going. I have, you know, some things in place. I want to get better at applying for grants. I want to get better at having robust conversations about my ability to take on debt. Could you give me kind of 1 or 2 takeaways that they should take away from this conversation?
Sure. So if you are thinking about grants, I would say the first thing to really think about is grants that are highly competitive. You know, essentially it's free money, and who doesn't like free money? So I think the first thing you really have to think about is, you know, what type of grants you're looking for, and start looking at organizations who really match with either, whether it's geographically or your industry, starting to look at, you know, who matches with you.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of times people get disqualified by grants by not reading really carefully.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very set kind of list of grant requirements.
Mm-hmm.
And you really have to read carefully, make sure you're meeting those.
Mm-hmm.
And Yeah, if you see the kind of not disqualify yourself out the gate by not matching to the requirements. Mm-hmm. And the third thing I would say is, you know, make sure you're telling a story. Mm-hmm. Grant readers, they're getting a lot of grant applications. So you don't want to have this like really dry, boring application. Mm-hmm. Yeah, spend the time, give yourself plenty of time because mm-hmm. the grant applications tend to be pretty long. Yeah. And think of yourself in your story and really allow that to come through to mm-hmm. the grant reader. Because mm-hmm. You're going to be competing with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And obviously the last thing is proofread. Proofread. I feel like law school again. It's like proofread.
My wife.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also know that, you know, even though it's free money, on the back end, they're going to be reporting requirements. Because I will say, like, when I first started looking at grants, that's the thing I wasn't expecting. Mm. So usually it comes with some sort of support. You usually get some sort of community, some sort of support, training. But the grant, you know, the grant providers also want to know how their money is being deployed, mm-hmm. what changes or what differences it's made. And so there are reporting requirements. So I think you have to think about, you know, really carefully how you're going to use the funds, mm-hmm. how you're going to show impact, and how you're going to report. So I think having a really good understanding of, you know, what the grant process is like, mm-hmm. and then, you know, even on the back end, like the ongoing reporting, what that looks like, and being prepared to actually manage that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Paperwork, not fun. Okay, Corey. Yeah.
So I would say, ask yourself the same questions you would ask me if I was asking you to borrow money, mm. right? One of the questions you would ask is, how are you gonna pay me back? Mm. And so that speaks to a cash flow capacity. Mm-hmm. Does this person have the cash flow? Do I have the cash flow to be able to pay back a $100,000 line of credit? Mm-hmm. That's going to be X amount of dollars, and as a result of Fed's raising rates, it's going to go up. And I'm not even really using this tool properly because I'm putting a long-term debt on a short-term whole nother. So again, ask the question that you asked me, mm-hmm. right? So number one, do I have the capacity or the cash flow to pay this back? Number two, Corey asked me for money. Does he have the character? Mm. Because he borrowed money from my cousin and hadn't paid them back. And so character and capacity, right? What mm-hmm. type of character do I have to be able to show that I have a track record for paying this back?
Yeah.
In addition to that, do I actually have the means to be able to pay this back? Starting there, one starts us to look introspectively and say, okay, if I don't stop there and think the journey is over.
Yeah.
Now what you do is you invest time, talent, and treasure. Don't skip over the treasure. Yeah, I'm talking about money. Mm-hmm. Pay somebody to get the results that you need. That is the quickest way to scale and grow your business.
Yeah.
And you can be a Google expert, you can be a YouTube expert, but when you pay someone and you pay the right person to get the right information, it will help you grow so quick. And so invest in yourself to change those things. If we have character issues where we hadn't paid things in the past, let's do some work on your credit.
Yeah.
If you have capacity or cash flow issues, let's take a look at that and see. Get someone that can consult you properly because there's safety in the multitude of counsel. Mm. And so take the time to do that. And that's what I would encourage people to do.
Yeah, I like that. And I appreciate you guys joining me today. Yeah. Before I let you get out of here, I do have a couple rapid fire questions for you. What's your favorite tool or business resource that you find yourself constantly recommending?
ChatGPT.
No way.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Yes.
Cosign?
Look, I had a young lady come to me after church and say, they said you can write a business plan for me. I said, okay, tell me what you need. Pulled up ChatGPT, spoke. Is this right? That's right. Emailed it to her. God bless you. Get out of my face. In the name of the Father, Son, and no. Yes, ma'am.
The best intern.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And now that also goes back to it's only one of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that is a tool that we have the privilege of having.
Yeah.
To utilize properly.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. I would say, like, if you're a small
so
business
good.
And you're trying to learn
so
something,
good.
You know, the explain to me how to do X, Y, and Z can be a great starting point.
Oh yeah.
Or I would say even like grant applications. Oftentimes there's a word limit. So you may create this beautiful response, and it needs to be like 1,000 characters or less. ChatGPT can help you with that.
I'm not going to say what I've used, you know, AI for regarding grants, but let's just say it's very helpful when you got 3 grants and they're all due tomorrow. what painful business experience are you most grateful for? You see how both their heads went up? I think that was coordinated.
what painful experience? I'm grateful I got fired.
Okay. From your job being the VP of?
Yes.
Okay.
I was pushed into purpose.
Okay.
And if I didn't get fired, I never would be sitting here with you all.
Mm-hmm.
So in my case, I was pushed into purpose.
Okay.
I'm actually going to second that.
You got fired too?
I did, yeah.
Who else do I need to know?
Getting fired is funny because I feel like my whole career, I was afraid of being fired. It was like this, yeah, this stigma. But it has wound up being the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like I was finally free to, mm-hmm. yeah, pursue mm-hmm. purpose. And I, mm-hmm. you know, today it's like training and passion meets purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I don't have the Sundays anymore. I'm getting to make a difference. Mm-hmm. It's the best thing that happened.
Okay, so you heard it here first. Go get fired.
No. Some people don't need to be fired.
Okay.
But it just so happens.
Yeah,
so
don't get fired.
No. Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like it would accelerate the purpose activation here is what I'm hearing. what habits have you had to remove from your life since starting your business?
Ooh, that's a good one. Procrastination.
Mm.
And thinking that it's all about me, right? So procrastination and pride, right? So putting off what I know I need to do and putting off what I know I need to pay somebody to do. This is going, right? All the P's just keep lining up.
Yeah.
Because I was procrastinating thinking I could do it and it took me 30 days and I paid somebody and he did it in 3 hours.
Right.
So what amount of money? Okay. So
what is your time worth at the end of the day?
Right.
What is your time worth?
Right. Because I could have took that 30 days and been up and running a lot quicker and recoup whatever I put into. So procrastination, paying someone, and pride.
Mm.
The pride of saying, no, I got it. I'm young, black, and gifted.
Mm.
You know, it's only nobody's going to do it like me. You're right. They're going to do it better than you.
Right.
Because
right.
they're better at doing it.
Yeah.
They're better at doing grants and microloans.
Yeah.
So we absolutely will be partnering to do some stuff because I don't do grants
right.
and microloans.
Yeah.
Mm. So that's another P, partnering.
Yeah, partnering's a good, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say, I had let go of fear and imposter syndrome,
which
I feel like some days it's still, you know, still a process, but, you know, fear, it's like, you know, I think especially as an entrepreneur, taking that leap, you know, making that phone call, sending that email, getting up. I made my first pitch last week, you know, making my first pitch, you know, letting go of fear.
Charging that high fee, that fee that you know you're worth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
just
that's
saying
another
it.
One, yeah.
Yeah.
Speak
I
on
was in my first
like,
venture
I'm
out.
About
I undercharged.
Say,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
So
I undercharged and the person didn't even finish the service because they didn't feel it enough.
Like I think sometimes, especially when we're first starting out, you kind of don't know or don't believe, step into your worth. That's a great one.
Yeah.
Hmm. Y'all hitting on some stuff right now. Jesus Christ. Okay. last but not least, what is your biggest accomplishment as an entrepreneur?
My thought initially went to a number, but more importantly, what profit a man to gain the whole world. And so I pick up my kids all the time. I have control of my time. And as a result of controlling that time, I charge so much more than they gave me at the highest of my corporate career. And so one of my biggest accomplishments so far is to be in purpose and also be profitable. There's the P's again. I don't know what's, but so that, and that's, and I feel like saying that now is so premature for me. And so that imposter, but celebrating small victories is true.
Mm,
and so,
totally.
But there's so much more to come.
Yeah, our biggest one. I would say honestly, hitting our beta. You know, we're a couple days away from releasing our beta, which, you know, has been a journey.
So for people who are listening, I know what you're talking about, but when you say beta, can you explain to them?
So when...
Is that a sorority?
I know. So, you know, oftentimes the startup will come out with, it's like their minimum viable product. So it's like the very base, bare bones, often called an MVP. Mm-hmm. And then after you've tested, you've done user, you know, your user discovery, you'll then go to the full functioning website. Okay. And so we are just a couple of weeks away now from launching our full functioning, really open to everyone website. Mm-hmm. And it's been a journey, you know, I'll say personally, financially, you know. But I think to be here and kind of put this out into the world, it just, I think, you know, celebrating the small victories, it feels like it's a huge victory.
Nice.
Is there something we can, look at me turning. So with you becoming a beta, which is a sorority, is there something that we can do to help support that and help push you into purpose and where you need to be?
I think the biggest thing is, you know, when you hear small businesses who are struggling, just, you know, sharing
I'm sorry.
The existence.
It's okay.
Yeah,
it's
sharing
okay.
that, you know, Cane's Cash is here, it's live, and yeah, just spreading the word.
Yes, ma'am.
Don't you guys also have an app coming, or did I misread that?
We will. It's, okay. Yeah, we're just starting with the web okay. version, but yeah,
okay.
eventually
didn't
we'll
mean
have
to
the
jump
app.
The gun.
Good.
I'm just putting your business out there. But I did my research. I know my people. Well, thank you guys so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it. You guys are awesome. I really just learned a lot myself and so excited to see, you know, what all comes out of this.
That's all for today's episode. And if you can't wait for the next episode, you can subscribe to our paid membership on Substack to get exclusive content like outtakes, bloopers, after show thoughts, and more. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to give us a 5-star rating on your app of choice or like this video on YouTube. We'll catch you in the next episode.